Hey, thank you for always tuning in and listening to the Aftermarket's original and premier podcast. A big gratitude, a huge gratitude goes to everyone who's paying it forward to help shape the future of the automotive aftermarket. Everyone I've ever had on, and we continue to strive to be relevant, updated, and critical to your learning curve. Carm Capriato here, your aftermarket podcast guy with Dr. John Passante and Paul McCarthy as we discover ways to learn and understand the intricacies of leadership and being a shop owner. We will learn the concept behind the moment of impact. Dr. John Passante is a legacy automotive aftermarket human resource professional and the president and CEO of the Organizational Development Group. And Paul McCarthy is the president of the Automotive Aftermarket Suppliers Association. AASA is the voice for the automotive aftermarket supplier industry. Hey, none of this is possible without my sponsors. It's Apex and Shopware that bring you every Friday release. Now, before we jump into this excellent talk radio right here, right now, I want to share with you the power of Shopware. Now, stop spending time chasing your customers. Shopware's leading shop management system is helping shops like yours, just like yours, generate more profit per ticket with less time on the phone. Break away from your legacy system. Break it up. Break away and implement a completely contactless workflow today. Start now. GetShopware.com. That's GetShopware.com. Hey, for all the right reasons, we're not going to be face-to-face at Apex this year yet. Apex 2020 is going to be a virtual experience, which is defined this year for many of us. It's still happening the week of November 3rd, and there's still going to be a strong focus on meeting the needs of the service and repair community. Details are coming soon. There's also more information on the website at aapexshow.com/FAQS. Pay attention to that. I'm delighted you're here listening on your favorite podcast listening app.
They need the vision, the values, the validation. It's those types of things, that leadership for them is how people are going to get through this and how our businesses are going to be healthier on the other side.
Hey, more with John and Paul in a minute. Hey, did you know that Aftermarket Weekly is a fun and fast live show on everything about our industry? There's also a shop tour from one of North America's top shops. Now, if you'd like to show off your place, then send me an email at carm@remarkableresults.biz. It is live Tuesdays at noon Eastern, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn. You'll find us just about everywhere. Or you can find all the older episodes, all archived on aftermarketweekly.com. Find the talking points, the bios, and key talking points for John Passante and Paul McCarthy for this episode at remarkableresults.biz/E564. Every show has its own show page. Hey, a warm welcome to two really good friends, Dr. John Passante, President and CEO of the Organizational Development Group. Hello, John.
Nice to see you, Carl.
Same here, my friend. You've been on the podcast before. I have to tell you something. When I need a dose of wisdom, I go back and listen to one of your podcasts. And Paul McCarthy's with us, President, CEO of AASA, the Automotive Aftermarket Suppliers Association. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Carm. It's wonderful to see you.
Same here, my friend. Were both of you in my studio last year? No, it was Paul. It was you and Bill Hanvey, wasn't it?
Hanvey at Apex,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we've done stuff together. I'm so happy to have you back. Just run Passante or McCarthy on my website. Look at the episodes that we've done together. You will not go wrong. John wrote an article called The Moment of Impact. And what I love about John is he'll nudge me and he'll say, hey, check this article out. He says, I think there's a podcast there. We've hit on one, which I think is fabulous. It's called The Moment of Impact. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about leadership today. But it would behoove me to ask Paul McCarthy a question about Apex, since we all know for the first time ever, as the pandemic has made all of our lives different than in every way possible that we could think of, Apex will now become virtual. And Paul, at AASA, along with Auto Care Association, you guys are co-owners of Apex. I've got the guy who can tell me how different or how exciting Apex is going to be this year.
You know, it's really sad that we're not going to be able to be together in person in Las Vegas. It is exciting that we're going to have this virtual and digital experience. And I think we'll have an announcement in the next week, I believe, about some of that content that we'll bring to the industry. But we talk about Apex as being the industry homecoming, and it really is that. And so it's tough not to have that kind of homecoming like we normally have. And Carm, you and I have talked about over the last few years, it's really become a broad homecoming for the whole industry. So we've got, you know, tens of thousands of shop owners and techs there with the training, looking at the new technology that's coming in the vehicles, the new product. But ultimately, you know, this just happened to us. COVID has happened to all of us. And we just didn't have a choice. Our members needed certainty. And frankly, legally, it wasn't even an option. You know, we have 160,000 people typically in Las Vegas for Industry Week, Aftermarket Industry Week. And legally right now, you can't have a meeting with more than 50 people. So we're going to have this exciting virtual element. So stay tuned for those elements. But also I'll say next year is, based on what I've heard, is going to be gangbusters. Everybody wants to be there, be together.
Paul, the word is pent up.
You're absolutely right. So if you normally come to Apex, I can't wait to see you. And if you've never come, next year is the year to come because we can't wait to be together.
I had heard the 19th of August, somewhere around the time that Apex was going to start bringing some of the virtual things to light so we can all take a look at them and sign up to be on them. And, you know, I know I was going to be at Apex this year. I'm going to miss it. I've missed a 10 to 12 personal appearances this year. And boy, I'll tell you, John and Paul, as you said, it's like a homecoming. I miss being out there with my listener base, with everyone in the industry. And, you know, I'm a perpetual student. I'm always learning stuff. It's been so interesting, so interesting. We've done shows on it. Anyway, let's get into this article, John, the moment of impact. And as an employee of a business, I wonder how many, even owners, feel that they're really heard and they're understood with and for their people, two-way communications. I love part of the premise of your article about being feeling validated, John. And I think that's one of the biggest things in this moment of impact. Do I really feel that I'm being heard and understood?
We're so busy being busy. I know you two gentlemen well enough. I bet you both have a to-do list that you check out throughout the day. Paul's smiling. You're thinking. And I wonder on a to-do list, are there people issues? You and I can't be validated unless somebody validates us. And to me, and I'm open for input, to me, part of leadership is validating the people that you lead every day. We're so busy doing things, and I'm not denigrating things, but things don't happen without the people. And the Gallup poll did a survey last year before the virus. And this will make all of us concerned. 62% of them said they're not totally engaged in their job. Well, how does that affect productivity? How does that affect customer service? Point is, you validate people by accepting them. You accept me for who I am. Paul accepts me. I accept both of you gentlemen for who you are. Our differences, our age differences, our education, whatever that case may be. But there's acceptance. And when you go to work, you want to have that feeling of being accepted. And that's one of the impact that leaders have. And then leaders also validate. They affirm that what we have to say is worthwhile, whether they agree with us or not. They affirm that they want to hear what we have to say.
The stronger the leader that I work for, the happier I'm going to be, the more engaged I'm going to be, the more fulfilled I'm going to be. The words that I say may have meaning to that individual.
None of us get to where we are in life by ourselves. I don't believe there's self-made heroes or self-made successful people.
I have to repeat that. No one got anywhere in life on their own. I know my audience needs to hear that a couple of times because ego is so strong in saying, listen, I became a technician and now I'm a shop owner and no one can tell me what to do and how to do it. Yet I'm failing. The world around me thinks I'm successful, but I'm really not. Pressure's at home and you can't do it alone. Every successful shop owner I've ever interviewed will tell you 20 groups, peer groups, education, reading, and on, that's the difference maker.
I mean, I think you're absolutely right on that, Carm. And one of the great ways to kind of get to that is when I ask people in the industry, you know, why are you in the aftermarket? Why are you in this industry that we all love? And it always comes back to a personal story. Somebody who gave them that opportunity. And often what, as John says in the article, somebody who trusted them more than they trusted themselves. It's often a very personal story. I mean, my case, when people ask me that, why are you in the aftermarket? The image that immediately comes to my mind is my grandfather. And I'm a little kid and he's letting me help give him the tools to help him fix the car. And I'm way too young for this. You know, I've been watching him, you know, trying to figure out which tools are which, but he gave me that opportunity and I'm here too young and I'm helping fix my mom's car. He did what John said, trusted me more than I trusted myself. And that's why I'm here, is to get back some of that feeling that it gave me, that I could make a difference, that I could make an impact. And again, when I talk to people in the industry, they all have that same story. And it's a personal story, personal connection, some leader who said, you got to step up in here. And that's why we're here.
Well, I had an impact on my life from my grandfather to Paul. So you said the word grandfather and I lit up. And for me, we were in the distribution business, but Grandpa John, he was kind of the matriarch of the family and he was building buildings and he was doing what the grandpa, the dad of the business, does. He taught me how to ride a bulldozer and a tractor and how to climb on trusses and put up sheeting. And he was so well respected that what I learned from him was the honesty and integrity. You know, you work hard. He was so well respected. And I said, my God, if I could ever grow up to be like Grandpa John, was always an idol. So we were in the aftermarket since I was a little kid. But Grandpa was the one who taught me my work ethic and my morals.
Part of life and leadership is to unlock the talent and potential in people. And I don't know if you and Paul ever had teachers that, I remember math teachers that would, the little people in the classroom, they would select the child who had the most difficulty with math to solve a problem that were on three boards. I come from a generation of blackboards. I know they don't exist anymore, but bear with me, guys. You know, and I'll reflect on somebody who touched me that, it happened to be an Ursula nun, Sister Bernadine, in Toledo, Ohio, St. Thomas Aquinas Church. I was in the eighth grade. I was captain of the basketball team. And every Friday at the end of class, before we went home, you got a grade on conduct. And if you didn't get a B in conduct, you could not play basketball on Saturday. I was a team captain. The bell rang like a typical eighth grader. I couldn't wait to get out the door. I pick up my books, I run towards the door, I look at the door, and go down alphabetically, John Anthony Passati. Behavior, B minus, 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 minus. Sister Bernie says, Mr. Passati, do you have a moment? You don't say no to Sister Bernadine. She could have played linebacker for the Patriots. God bless her soul. She said, get a chair and sit in front of my desk. I said, yes, sister. I sit down. Mr. Passati, what did you learn today? I put my head down and said, sister, you gave me a break. You're correct, Mr. Passati. What are you going to do with that? I said, sister, you have my commitment. I will be a student from now on. Have a nice weekend, Mr. Passati. I became a student, graduated first in my class. And I owe her that. I mean, seriously, that's something that changed my life. Now, I've also had leaders. I was a C-minus accountant that said, you have people skills. And they opened the vista for me to work with people. So, I mean, that's sort of things you remember. And what I'm saying is the people that are listening to this podcast, look for the talent in your organization. And sometimes people are afraid to learn because they have that bad experience in school. And you say, we're going to put in new technology. And they go, oh, my God. Take the fear out of learning. Take the fear out of trying something new, like your grandfather did and Paul's grandfather did. And Paul's grandfather would say, Paul, not that tool. Send me this tool. Let me show you how this tool works. Right, Paul? And that's how you learn.
All those years ago, you will not forget that. And it goes back to the leadership that the sister showed you in this really soft way, if you will, very strong but yet soft way, because she was hoping that you understood what she was saying. You had a V8 moment at that time. We'll be right back and listen for the big point John makes on validation and how that connects to strong leadership. Hey, Carm here for Apex. Now, for all the right reasons, we're not going to be face-to-face at Apex. Yet Apex 2020 is going full speed ahead to be a virtual experience. I'm really excited to participate in the virtual event because Apex will pull together some of the best and brightest training in this new, unprecedented virtual experience. It's still happening the week of November 3rd, the same week Apex was to take place. Virtual Apex will still have a big focus and commitment to the service repair community. Look for training and the chance to interact with the aftermarket community. See new product intros and more during this extraordinary event. Details will be ready for you on August 19th. There's also more information coming on the website at aapexshow.com/FAQS. Hey, you know, auto repair is a high dollar, high value transaction, and your customer sensitivity about how much it costs and why is never more important than when you ask them to pay the bill. While these conversations can sometimes feel awkward or uncomfortable, it's important that you don't fall down and cheapen your services at the final step. Shopware's shop management platform now offers a solution that helps you showcase the value and sophistication that you've invested throughout the repair. With our innovative digital workflow, customers can review, approve, and even pay for services right from their smartphone. Let remote pay work for you and improve your customer experience. Get started today. Visit GetShopware.com for more information and to request a demo. And so when I think about leaders today, our audience, do you believe in the people that work for you? And have you ever told them that?
Well, again, on the survey that the Gallup poll, they said 70-some% of the employees that took the survey felt that they have never been given any sign of appreciation. Now, if I'm working 12 hours in a shop, and I'm a technician, what kind of positive feedback do I get? There's a difference between motivation and movement. If you're my boss and you say, do this or I'll fire, I'll do it. If you say to me, John, let's talk about how we can improve efficiency in the shop. That's motivation. You understand? One's fear, one's inclusion. You include me and say, John, what's your thoughts? You've been in the shop 6 months. You graduated from tech school. You have fresh ideas. I want to learn from you. Let's learn together.
And John, this also speaks to one of the things that really struck me about this article of yours is how much this information applied during this time of COVID-19. So we talked about it before. I mean, we're all in crisis mode. We're all overwhelmed. And what you were just talking about connecting and telling people that they matter, it's even more so. I mean, I've seen it myself. We get caught up in this crisis and my team suffered as a result. And if this is normally true, what you're saying, John, it's even more so in this crisis that we need to connect with folks in this socially distant time. We need to validate them. And
before the crisis, Paul, I looked up some statistics. 1 million people called in every day from work for sick, stress-related illnesses. Now, today, the stress level is different because I can't go to work. And I want to go to work. I mean, I find myself doing that, too. I haven't been on an airplane in 5-6 months. That's the first time in 40-some years. I mean, I like yourself, I travel a lot, you know. It's a different, whole different mindset. And it's interesting. I send emails to people, like I've sent one to you and Carm. How are you doing? How's the family? I try to do that every day, and it's from the heart, you know, the people I care about. And I get some very, very profound kind of responses where people are going through. So and you've heard me say this before, both you and Carm, is that leadership is being that safe harbor where you can get yourself out of the storm and vent a little bit.
You can vent to someone you trust.
Yes.
And when you have that trust, there's usually nothing you can't say. Guys, leadership is so much of what this article is about, working for a great leader, being a good leader. And lately on the shows, I've been thinking that people feel that leadership is hard to do. It's hard to be a leader. Now, go out and read a couple of leadership books that I have on my books page on the website, and I think it could help take down some of that mystique. But I've been so wanting to say, well, how can I be a better leader? And I've been thinking and writing things like communicate and care and engage, demonstrate, delegate, trust, and like you're saying, John, validate and ask someone. I mean, John shows he's a great leader because he asks people how they are, what's going on, anything you want to talk about. That's leadership.
I always get interesting people say to me, well, you work on the soft side of business. You know, I'm older now, so I get my Italian blood pressure under control. I say, yeah, it's really easy to hire people, train people, transfer people, close plants, terminate people. Oh, that's a piece of cake. In fact, it's not. The soft side is not soft at all. So again, it starts with the leaders. You have to know who you are and be comfortable in your own skin and know who you are and who you are and be willing to share that. That's what leaders do. I mean, the leaders that you impacted, you, your grandfather, Paul's grandfather, the people you worked with, Buzzards, Paul and his background. Leaders that I've had the most respect for weren't afraid to say that they didn't know something.
You just said one of the most powerful things in this episode. I can't remember the year or the day or the age that I was when I finally made the decision that if I didn't know something and that someone was talking about, I said, give me that again. And what are you trying to say? And what did you mean by that? And what's that acronym mean? And how does that work? There was a point in time where, you know, I'm supposed to be Oz. And so when someone was talking, I was just shaking my head like, and I was in a cloud. I think the person who was talking to me knew that I was in a cloud, but I didn't have something. I lacked something not to go out and say, what the heck are you talking about? And I think that helped me be an inquisitive podcaster and an influencer in the industry, because for my listener, if they're listening to you and I don't know it, they probably don't either. So it's my job to say, John, what the heck are you talking about? And I think when you get over that, you can learn to blossom as a better leader, because when you admit that you don't know everything, so do your people.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's having faith in people. I mean, I remember when I was with a major manufacturer, the national sales meeting in Florida, and my boss had a major presentation. 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone rings. I try to wake up. He said, John, it's Larry. I've got the flu. I'm throwing up. You're giving my talk in 5 hours in front of 350 people, including board. I'm 28 years old. I get up and take a shower, shave and cut myself shaving. I'm so nervous. I go through his notes, and I did it. And I got a standing ovation. Now, I'll never forget, he took a risk on me, right? And he said, I really wasn't feeling that bad, but I want to give you a play. I want to showcase you. And I said, I'm going to kill you.
You were the designated survivor.
Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? It's having faith in people and give them that opportunity to fly. But it was great exposure. And then when he left, he made sure I got promoted. So right at the time, my vision was like this, you know.
Well, I love this theme that, Carm, I think you raised it, and John, of humbleness, this humbleness you need as a leader and the leading by example. But there was one theme I wanted to throw out to you, John, for your reaction, because one of the things you always tell me is it's all about the customer in the end. And you mentioned this in the article as well. It's how you see some of these themes connecting to the customer. Because again, when I look at it, I mean, you talk about values being so important about this leadership element. And that seems like an element, especially in these times where we're connecting with the customer, because this is absolutely a moment of impact for them. And they need their cars, to put it bluntly. I love what the New York Times said, that the car is the ultimate PPE. And it is. It's our sacred place. I have a coworker who's going to a drive-in wedding next week. But they need it repaired and maintained. So how do they trust us in this strange moment? I mean, we talk about trust being a big customer motivation all the time. You know, I go to your shop because I trust that you fix my car safely. I go to your shop because I trust that you give me a square deal. So it seems like this is a time where we need to really show those values, as you're saying, leaders to our employees, make it in this crazy time. Maybe it can even be more than a car repair. It can be a moment of impact for those folks. And if we can do that, we can come out of this COVID with businesses a lot healthier.
I guess my response would be, how do we view the customer? words are powerful, but actions are more powerful. If we really, truly, truly view the customer as a partner, you know, that's empathy and understanding, you know, that they're going through the same challenges we are, and that we're not smarter than, better than. And I'm not saying we have that attitude, but we have to be careful. Three of us are customers too, by the way. And loyalty and staying the course with us in times of good times and times of bad times. Ask the customer how they're doing personally. It has nothing to do with sales. It has nothing to do with revenue. But it's got to be from the heart. It's got to be sincere. It can't be phony. It's got to be real. It's our vision. It's our mindset. It's our view of how we think of that customer as leadership and the impact to make sure that everyone in the organization understands how we feel and why we feel that way about customers. And Paul, in my career, when I was with companies, I would have customers come in and talk to all the employees, not rehearsed, and they could talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it. I take them to the plants with us, 3 o'clock in the morning at a third shift, and he'd say, here's what I expect of your company. And then they would have Q&As. And that opened a lot of vistas to say, particularly in our industry, why do we have to ship at least a 95% two-day turnaround time, right? And you and I can say that as the so-called boss, but when a customer says, here's what happens in the chain when your wife's car is broken, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The word I would say is awareness, consistency, and truly care about the customer.
Truly caring about the customer. Paul and John, I talk about love a lot. And when I've gotten it in front of groups and I says, hey, let's talk about love. And they look at me like, where the heck's this speech going? And I'd say, let's think of love being a verb. You know, we care for each other. If the mantra of the business is love our customer, and whatever that means to the company, you can't love your customer unless you love yourself, unless you love the organization you work for. And what I would always tell people, that your people will love your customers because love comes from the inside out. If the team cares for each other, loves the company they work for and the job that they do, the customers will notice it just through osmosis.
That's really true. You want to treat your customers like you want to be treated. And if you think about it, customer service is a value add for your customer, from your company. It's a value add. If A and B have the same product with the same coverage, maybe the price is closer. Maybe not. You're going to go to somebody where you really trust them, or a car, where you really get that customer service, where you have that connection. Price is not always the motivator.
It's the experience, Paul. Can you think of a company that you go to, that you buy something from, whatever, that you, the experience keeps you coming back?
Well, I can. And actually, I just want to throw out, John mentions in the article that leadership is vision, values, and validation. I just love that vision you put out there, Carm, of love and getting that love from the customers. You know, you got to love yourself and the organization. But to your point about, you know, something that, you know, I pursue, or that we see, you know, our members, or we see, you know, your listeners pursue, one of the things that we love is, you know, you hear it from folks when they talk about a certain tool company that they buy from. We hear it sometimes when they talk about a certain parts or whatever, that it's not just the thing that does the job. It's something you have an emotional connection to.
It's the relationship, Paul.
You feel it's been there for you. I know it's going to work. I know I'm not going to have a comeback. And these type of things over time, it becomes an emotional connection. And, you know, the best companies, I'd say, in our industry, they try to make, in a small way, but opening that box, a moment of impact where you feel like, all right, this is the brand I trust. This is the part I trust. I can focus on what matters to me. I can focus on the customer. I can focus on getting this repair right because they're taking care of me. It's a nice thing to aim for.
This is such a great article. I'm going to put this into a PDF and I'll add it to the show notes so that people can download it, John. I know you've had this published, but we'll make this as a download because there's so much more in this article. It's a short article, but it's very impactful. And I can't help but just this theme of love your customers. If we love each other, what a way to start being a better leader is to work on that customer that you want to keep coming back to have this solid relationship with. Work on self, work on team, they'll work on customer.
I wonder how many leaders really reflect on who they are as a person because they're task oriented. And this is not a being critical of any leader, because they've got awesome responsibilities. But I always, when I do executive coaching, it's just, I call it me time, you time, time for you. Because most of us are overwhelmed and been busy. And I think it's important to recharge. You know, sometimes you got to unplug your computer. Sometimes you got to plug yourself and do some self-reflection to say, okay, here's who I am. Here's who I want to be. Here's how I could improve. And if they're comfortable with that process, share that appropriately with their leadership team and with all their employees, you know. I've seen people do that, and I've had organizations and board members or so-and-so call me and say, what'd you do to so-and-so? They changed. I said, well, I didn't do anything. I listened. I guided. I prodded, as only Italians can prod, right, Carl? And the person...
Hey, what do you mean by that, huh?
Hey, talking to me. A real quick story, gentlemen, about customer service. I gave a talk some years ago to the executive management of a very large company in Chicago. I went to their office, and my presentation was in this very elaborate boardroom. The chairs in the boardroom cost more than my house. I walk in the room, and they're there, probably 20, 30 people. They introduce me, and at the head of the table is a mannequin dressed in a suit and tie. Obviously, I'm taken back by that. And there's a nameplate in front of the mannequin, had a beautiful suit tie on, says, I'm the customer. Every meeting that company has, that mannequin is in the meeting. And somebody will say, after somebody makes a suggestion point, what would the customer say? That's a visionary, right? It was incredible.
Yeah, it's an avatar. I mean, I believe Nordstrom's has, you know, an avatar. Actually, that customer in the boardroom has a name. Say it would be Barbara's. Well, what would Barbara say about, you know, this or that? So you're absolutely, absolutely right.
Well, I was just going to mention something. I know John started all of this in terms with a theme of validation and validating your folks. And I just wanted to take this opportunity, if I could, to validate a little bit, which is, the folks listening to your podcast, the folks in the shops, and by the way, shout out as well to the employees from my members. But these are all folks who have been in the shops, been in the factory, been in the distribution centers throughout this crisis. So they are heroes and leaders to me, and they've helped an awful lot of other heroes keep our country rolling throughout this. So I just wanted to try to embody John's theme of validation on that, because I'm just hugely impressed with the folks in our industry and what they've done. We've been essential.
So important. Thank you for saying that. I know that's from the heart, but it's so, so true.
If you care, we should show that you care. And I don't know, maybe men have a difficult time. You talk about, you said love. I'm sure some of the guys in the audience says, I'm leaving, I'm out of here.
They turned me off 10 minutes ago the minute I mentioned love, yeah.
But love and care are members of the same family. And leadership is caring and showing that you care and making sure your words and your actions match.
So if I want to make my people successful and I'm not, can I do it?
I guess I would ask you, what do you mean by you're not successful?
I'm struggling to grow sales to pay my bills, and I'm trying to grow this leadership team because I know that's the point. There's a couple of pivots that I need to make in my business. I know I've got to rally the troops. I don't want to lose anybody. I've got some really good talent. I could sense they're not happy about where the direction of the company. I've got to learn to become a better leader, but I'm crushed a little bit because I don't have the success at this moment in time that I wanted. And so I can't get out of my own way.
Well, Carl, first of all, the employees know what's going on. If you think they're secrets in organizations, forget about it. As they say in Buffalo, forget about it. People know, right, Paul? There's no secrets. And even though we have a formal chain of command and communications, the informal chain knows it before we do. So if you got to accept that premise and you get people in the room, everybody, the technicians, the people pulling parts, the part-time person, whatever the case may be, your bookkeeper, your wife or your spouse, if they're involved in the shop, whatever. And you close the door and you say, folks, we have an issue, but we are going to solve it. And you start laying, and you listen, and you listen, and you listen. And you make them part of the process. and you'd be amazed what you learned. Nothing more precious than an idea. And I wonder how many of your shops are listening to this podcast today. Does the owner ask for ideas? Hey, Sam, you've been here 18 years. What do you think about this? How can we improve this? Hey, Joe, you started 3 months ago. Give me, what do you think? What's your view of our organization? And listen, you'd be amazed what you find out. I'm convinced that most issues could be resolved if the three of us get our minds together and check our egos. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. It's for the good of the cause. We'll solve it. I'm sincere. I've seen it. I've done it.
I'm so glad you brought up the fact that everyone knows that you're failing or you're not. Everyone knows how you're feeling. Everyone knows how hard you're working as the leader. There's no secret. You're right. And so your points of listen, be transparent and share. I remember doing a show with an individual who said they often share the vision that they had when they first started their company with their people to remind them about where they've come and then update that. We've kind of accomplished this, but here's more vision for you. I'm not surprised getting John and Paul together to have a discussion like this based on your article. And I know we went to a bunch of different places. This is going to be an important episode on how I can become a better leader. I just love what you guys brought to the table. And I have never sensed more because of the pandemic. How do we come out of it in whatever the new normal is? And I think we've had an awful lot of time to reflect. Not only the systems, the touchless, and the safety of our people, but assessed our own leadership. Is it going to be January 2021 that I'll be a new leader? No, it's going to start now. You got to get help. That's all I keep saying to people is consultants, business coaches, webinars, books. All of a sudden, you'll put the kind of business together that you've always wanted to put together.
There's that old saying that crisis is when you find out a person's real character. And I put the character of folks in the aftermarket against anyone, but this is definitely one of those moments, in John's words, moments of impact, that shows what we're made out of. And just know that your team, your people need you right now. They need that leadership from you. They need the vision, the values, the validation. And it's those types of things, that leadership for them is how people are going to get through this and how our businesses are going to be healthier on the other side.
The true sense of leadership is, do you stay the course when things are bad and things are good? It's easy to be a leader when you're making the numbers and things are rolling. Mm-hmm. The real test of leadership is when it's tough. And right now, this is uncharted waters. We don't know whether this virus is going to be under control. We don't know that. We know we'll come out of it because we will. We know the industry will survive. And you say it'll be gangbusters in 21. I can't wait to see you two characters in Vegas. And we'll have a heck of a celebration. I even want to suggest maybe we have an extra day in Vegas just to call it a day of celebration. But the employees are watching right now to say, okay, do you truly have my back? Do you truly have my front? Are you going to be there when it rains? And it's okay to put your arm around employees right now. And part of being a leadership is you invoke faith, faith in the process, faith in our industry. And Paul, you said it very well. I have a passion about the industry. Both you gentlemen know that. I have passion about people. This industry has been so good to me and my family. I love the people in the industry. I go to Vegas every year and I get hugs. And I've been going out there for 48 years, for God's sake. And people say, boy, you look bad. I said, I know if you were 150 years old, you'd look bad too. But the point is, we have that relationship that we're never going to lose. And reach out to people, reach out to employees, be that person that shows you care and validate them in ways that you, and your impact, by the way, you may never know the impact you have on another person until maybe someday they do a podcast and say, I remember when I worked with Carm. I remember when I worked with Paul. That happens every day. We touch people. We're not even aware how the degree that we touch them.
And I remember when John lent me his ear and he listened, and I figured it out just because John listened. Wow. Thank you so much, John Passante. Dr. John, President and CEO of the Organizational Development Group in Paul McCarthy. Paul, is it CEO President or just President? Do I have the title right?
Just President is fine.
President works. Yeah, I don't want to keep throwing too much responsibility on you. I just want to get it right. Of AASA, the Automotive Aftermarket Suppliers Association, co-owner with AutoCare in Apex. This was wonderful, and it's so nailed many of the themes that we talk about here on the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.